This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Optimism feeds off itself in world markets today. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. First, Wall Street, coming off the Labor Day weekend, rose 2.5% on Tuesday. Then, the Japanese government promised to cut corporate taxes, and the flagging Nikkei stock index there turned around and finished up 7.7%, the biggest one-day jump since 2008. There's a more bullish mood in China as well today, with the Hang Seng in Hong Kong rising 4%. But why, given recent economic data showing that China's economy is cooling? Christopher Balding is a professor at Peking University HSBC Business School in Shenzhen.
Even though they maintain that the official growth rate is 7%, the sense within China is that they're not coming close to that 7%, and so they're releasing a slew of measures to try and prop up that growth.
Measures like what, do you think? Lower interest rates, maybe?
If they continue lowering interest rates, that is going to cause RMB to leave the country, and that is going to cause real pressure on the RMB and essentially end the dollar RMB peg.
And you don't want the currency drifting too low, I suppose.
That's correct. And so they can't really lower them any further without causing very severe stress. Their most likely option is fiscal policy. Today, the Ministry of Finance began to release a number of measures, including releasing additional credit and infrastructure spending. And there are serious questions as to how much additional assistance infrastructure spending is going to provide, given that so much of the country is awash in debt and unused infrastructure as it is.
The famous issue of unused infrastructure, shopping malls where no stores are open, apartment complexes, and even cities where there's nobody home.
That's exactly the problem. If too many people are out of work, then that is going to provide real social stresses on the government. And so that's really what they're seeking to avoid.
Christopher Balding at Peking University's HSBC Business School, thank you very much for this.
Thank you very much for having me.
And about 2.5 hours before the opening bell on Wall Street, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 1% range. Note the 10-year Treasury yield going up ahead of a key interest rate decision next week from the Fed, 2.22% this morning. During the Great Recession, many U.S. companies could dictate the terms of employment. Here's the job offer, take it or leave it. But as the economy recovers and more people go out to eat, restaurant workers have more bargaining power. The Chipotle chain has a National Career Day today, an effort to hire 4,000 people, and wages are rising, as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Restaurant workers' wages have been growing about a percentage point faster than everybody else's in the private sector for the past 2 years, according to Heidi Shearholtz, chief economist at the Labor Department. She says as the unemployment rate falls, the pool of excess workers is shrinking.
In the worst of the downturn, there were nearly 7 job seekers for every job opening. Now there's around 1.6.
So there are fewer workers to choose from. As the economy recovers and more people go out to eat, restaurants are expanding. Sarah Senator is the senior analyst covering restaurants at Bernstein.
Restaurants talk about this battle for talent. 6 years into this recovery, we're having competition for people in the restaurants.
That competition has driven restaurant wages higher than everybody else's. Also, many restaurant workers live in states or cities that have increased the minimum wage, so they're automatically getting a bump. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
So what was that we lived through in the last month with all this volatility on the stock market? The answer from many a market professional is we just lived through a correction. But is that correct? Marketplace regular Alan Sloan is also a columnist at the Washington Post. Good to see you, Alan.
Good morning, David.
What is a correction? I think it's when share prices go down about 10%.
Correction is this Wall Street euphemism. It means stock prices have fallen a lot. This nonsensical idea that a 10% decline is a, quote, correction. It's absurd.
Thanks. No, but it really does have a euphemistic quality. I might be reaching for share prices spiked downward today, and you turn it to correction. It all seems so much more palatable.
But of course, when it went up, what did you call it? Did you call it a mistake? No, of course not. You called it a rally.
What also raises your blood pressure when the radio's on and you're hearing these market stories lately? Something to do with treasuries.
The idea that treasuries are a safe haven. Well, treasuries are a safe haven if you're worried about getting paid 10 years from now when the treasury matures. It's not a safe haven if you want to preserve the value of your money, because I can guarantee you that between now and 2025, interest rates on these securities will go up. And if you had just waited a while, you would have a lot more money than you would by buying a 2.1% treasury now.
Now, you have to listen long and hard for me to use that other phrase, is profit-taking. What does that even mean?
Well, it's another euphemism. It means selling. Unless the people doing it have done a survey of all the computers that are, you know, out there selling stock, decided the computers are ahead and are taking profits, that sounds so much nicer than selling, and it's so much more encouraging. You don't say that people are selling their behinds off. You say they're profit-taking, and I'm shocked that a veteran like you does not realize that, and I'm so offended I might almost leave, but I probably won't.
All right. Well, consider it a correction. Alan Sloan is also editor-at-large at ProPublica. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
And state regulators in New York are reportedly looking into whether big banks somehow rigged the treasury bond market. The Financial Times today says letters of inquiry have been sent to Barclays, Goldman Sachs, Deutsche, and Societe Generale. Treasuries are a $12 trillion market with a T, trillion. From studios at Montclair State University today, as our New York Bureau gets an overhaul, I am David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.